Well, welcome to the last installment of the Passion of Seven.
Eddie, you had such a sadness in your voice when you said that.
I wish you could see my face. It's a sad day for the Passion of
but
Seven.
You're smiling.
Podcast.
I can see
well,
your face.
I am
you're
smiling because you made me laugh, but it is a sad momentous occasion.
It is. This is the last official last installment of the Passion 07 podcast, yeah. But it's such a great episode we've got today. David Crowder on with us today.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really cool for everyone, and a great interview, by the way.
Really cool interview.
Exciting stuff. And so that's coming a little bit later today, but once we wrap it up, the Passion 07 podcast is going to go away, and
yeah,
obviously it'll stay on iTunes for a while, and I'm sure people will be finding it. Our audience is growing, by the way.
It's pretty huge.
It's a pretty crazy thought. I mean, it is huge.
It is.
You were kind of saying it's huge that it's still growing, or it's huge?
No, I mean, it's a huge audience.
It is
way more
audience.
Than I ever
yeah,
thought.
We thought it was
going
to be me and you and, you know, 87 of our friends, and
right.
It's turned into tens of thousands of people.
It's really cool
tuning into us, and the audience is growing a little bit, which must mean people are telling their friends about the podcast, and people are still discovering it, and people are still listening to like the first episode we did before Passion, and people are still listening to the arrival info, which I haven't figured out yet. So
I wonder what people get out of that.
Yeah,
episode.
Once you arrive in Atlanta for Passion 07, here's how you get downtown on MARTA. But hey, maybe people are. Or maybe they might know more than we know, so who knows?
Maybe they do.
But today's our last episode, and I'm excited about it. And this is going to be possibly our last episode. I don't know how that's going to work. But for those of you guys out there who've enjoyed Eddie being on the podcast with me, Eddie now is officially a worship leader, which
that's
he
true.
Has been for a long time. In fact, ever since I've known you, you've been a worship leader.
Right.
But you've also been on our Passion team here at the Passion House, an amazingly vital part of everything we've done for the last 4 years plus. Mm-hmm. Came to us as an intern.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And finished up at Stetson and came on staff here. And I think everybody would be shocked to know how much of an influence you've had in their lives, anybody that's been a part of Passion. And Eddie transitioned away from us about almost a month ago now.
Yeah, right
and,
at it.
And mostly by our encouragement and his sense of leading in God's, in his life and Danielle's life, that he has got an amazing gift for leading people in worship, and that's what he needs to be running after and pursuing, and he and Danielle really felt that. You guys felt that really strongly,
yeah.
And obviously all of us around here were like, totally, we see that. And so you're already out there doing it. I mean, you're leading on Tuesday nights up in Charlotte.
Yeah, it's crazy.
At this deal, and
awesome.
You're going to be leading down at Auburn tomorrow night for Encounter, and leading at North Point and Browns Bridge and other places as you had been already before that, but if you're looking for a worship leader, I'm here to tell you on the Passion 07 podcast, Eddie Kirkland is your guy. And I would give you his phone number, but that would just be wrong. So you'll have to figure out how to find him. But anyway, it's been great being on here with you. And maybe, who knows, maybe this won't be our last podcast. But if it is, I just want to make sure people knew where you were headed and what you were going to get into. And I'm sure a lot of you guys out there have already seen Eddie lead worship or been a part of that, and many more of you will be in the future. So we should have had you lead, actually, on the last podcast. I didn't think about that in time.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been a little awkward if it was just you and me sitting in a room. But
hey, you know, that's where it all starts, though. It's worship starts at the core, and
it
builds its way out. So you could have played, and I could have just sung along and worshiped, and it just would have been terrible. But anyway, hey, I just remembered that I need to figure something out real quick. I need to find out about the paperclip guy before we wind this thing up.
Oh, that's
so
pretty important.
Can you stall for like 2 minutes? Let me run across the hall and ask Jennifer.
Okay, this is for real. We're not really planning this. Louis is actually standing up and walking out to ask about the paperclip guy. But yeah, so sadly, this is my last week on the Passion of Seven podcast. But it has been a great journey, and there's a ton of stuff going on here around the Passion House, which we'll tell you about in just a minute. But Louis's back. I guess, do you have more information?
I do. Someone had asked about the paperclip guy, and I have been out of pocket in tour La La Land for a month and didn't know, but Jennifer's informed me that the paperclip has safely arrived, and all is well in the world. So
hallelujah.
A few of you out there had asked about that, and just want to let you know. Everything's good. By the way, I'm home for 8 days, which is so exciting.
That's
in my own house with my lovely wife and enjoying being the Passion House. We've got 6 regional events that are cooking right now. We've got a world tour that's taking shape, and Thirsty is just around the corner, so there's a ton going on here, and it's awesome being in the house for a few days, being back with the team here for a few days, and thank you to all you guys who come out and hung out with Chris and Matt and I on the road, by the way. It's just been, I can't really put into words how amazing it's been to carry the kingdom every night and see what God has done And we've got a few more, I think 10 more cities to go starting next Tuesday. I'll talk about that at the end of the podcast in a little bit, as much as I can tell people about the regional events that are coming up as well. But today, we've got some news for today. We've got an iTunes bundle that's up and running.
It is, and it's really, really good. I just heard, you know, it's funny because at Passion, I was in the World Congress Center the whole week.
Yeah.
And so I just heard Charlie Hall, his version of Marvelous Life.
Oh, because it
didn't
go all the way across both venues.
Mm-mm. And man, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's really, really cool. Everybody's been talking about it. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But man, it's really, really cool.
Well, you know, we talked about it, I think, on an earlier episode, but it's one of those in-the-moment things. And Charlie and I were sitting together when Piper was speaking. And by the way, I think we should let people know that if you didn't know that John Piper's dad had been ill for the last several months. In fact, he was very ill during the days of Passion, and John had gone to visit him on his way to Atlanta. His family lives in South Carolina.
Right.
But his father passed away and went to heaven yesterday.
Yeah.
And today is March the 7th, so you'll know when yesterday was. That was March the 6th. And there's a great tribute to his dad that John wrote on his website at desiringgod.org. And I know that their family is celebrating a life lived well for God's glory and the hope of eternity. But obviously, anyone who's lost a father would want to pray for them. And if you haven't lost a father, I would just encourage you just to pray for their family and for all of those folks in that situation, and just really lift them up. He's part of our Passion community, and we want to just support them and really surround them with our prayers in these days. But,
definitely.
You know, John was speaking at Passion, and Charlie and I were listening, and at the very end, we're kind of just talking a little bit, and I'm like, man, I just want to sit on that verse, you know, and Charlie just starts scribbling on his piece of paper, you know, and up he goes and just spontaneously starts leading around Marvelous Light with this little phrase, you know, and it's so powerful and you can feel it. And I just think the bundle, you know, this is the bundle to me that if you're out there, you need this on a daily basis because all of us, if we're honest, are struggling and we're falling, we're stumbling with things. None of us are quite where we want to be. And at times the problem's not just that we fall, it's that the enemies, the same enemy, by the way, if I can just take a second here, that tempts us in the first place and paints the picture that says, hey, this is where you want to be and this is what you want to do.
Right.
This is the stuff that's going to really make you happy and satisfy you. It's that same enemy that comes in on the backside of the temptation once we fall into it and says, you're the stupidest person I've ever met. You're the dumbest person on the face of the earth. You're a failure as a Christian. Don't even think about talking to God because he doesn't want to hear from you right now. And don't even think about being used by God if somebody's going to stumble like that. And I think we forget that that voice of accusation and condemnation, shame and guilt that's pouring down on us is the same enemy that was painting the picture as, this is where it's at. This is what you need. This is what's going to satisfy you. This is where you need to be running right now. And so I think, A, we need to rise up in that moment and go, shut up.
Right.
You know, you already lied to me once. You're not going to lie to me twice. So I fell for the temptation, but I'm not falling for the guilt, shame trick again. Because there's a cross of Jesus Christ. It broke the jaw of the accuser. It shut your mouth forever. You have nothing to hold over my head. I'm a washed, forgiven, redeemed, rescued son of God, daughter of God. So you just need to shut up now and move your ministry of condemnation onto somebody who can't read the New Testament and doesn't understand that we are washed completely.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, all of us need this message of freedom, and Piper just unloaded it in such a powerful way that day that this is the hope for those who've stumbled and fallen. And the songs come around that. The Amazing Grace that Chris and all the folks, the singers he had with him, did that opening night after the rescue moment that we had. And they're singing, and that Amaryllis is laying on the stage, and that shot's together. And there's just the power of the story of God. So it's a killer bundle. And I'm telling you, if you think we're trying to push something or commercialize something, then I'm sure we're making a grand total of 9 cents off of this bundle or something like that. So this is not about selling stuff. It's not about a record label. It's not about even getting up to number one on iTunes, which obviously we're not going to do, but I'd still be thrilled if we did. It's about a great resource. It's sitting at number 15 on iTunes right now.
Right.
In the middle of everything that's there is a message about the rescue of God and the restoration for people's lives after they've sinned miserably and fallen. And I just love that we have that opportunity. And so if you guys have grabbed the bundle already, thank you. For just being a part. But tell your friends about it. Share it. Give it as a gift to somebody. It's passion, and it's the ripples of passion still going out. And I know I'm a little fired up about that. And there's a little mini sermon that no one was really ready for today. But hey, the bundle's there, and I'm loving it. And I'm loving listening to it all over again and sharing that moment again as well. Somebody's going to ask the question they have. And since we've got the whole audience here, and this is the last of the Passion on 7 podcast, there may or may not be an EP or an album coming from Passion. We said there was.
Right.
But we're kind of reevaluating that now and looking at the big picture of some things this year. And so we have some songs, obviously, that I know everyone would like to hear again, myself included.
Yeah.
But there may be an album, there may be an EP, it may come out in the summer, may come out in the fall, or maybe a different plan. We're not really sure. So
right.
I know that's not the answer that people wanted to hear, and but I just trust people will know that, you know, we're just trying to figure out the best thing and the right thing every time, and we're trying to figure that out right now, and we don't always have the right answer or simple answer. So if you're wondering, is there a CD coming, and what's going to be on it, when's it coming? We're not sure right now, and if we do get information, obviously, once a decision's made, that's going to be on the Passion site as soon as we know it.
Well, we've got a great interview for people today. It's a great way to leave the Passion of 7 podcast, by the way, because we've never actually interviewed David Crowder on the podcast before.
We've had short people the whole time.
That's true.
And now we're going to finally get, you know, some
height and some stature behind it. No, man, it's a great interview, and we're really excited to let people hear it today.
Yeah, David was on the West Coast and was kind enough to carve some time out of his day-to-day to jump in with us, and I'm really excited that he's on, and enjoy. This is a lot to think about and a lot to enjoy. Well, we're on the line with David Crowder, who's been kind enough to give us some time today from faraway places here in the United States. And David, this is our final Passion 07 podcast, which makes perfect sense given that it's March now. But we're winding down the Passion 07 podcast. Really, really wanted to get you on with us before it went by. So thanks for taking time today and coming and hanging out with us for a little bit.
No, I'm really glad it worked out. This is super. I've been listening to him online. Quite enjoyable to hear everybody talk about their experiences, and it's been fun.
Well, if you could only see the Operation Eddie and I've got going over here, it'd be pretty staggering.
It sounds like NASA, you know. It sounds like you guys got it figured out, dialed in just right.
Well, they've been calling us for some backup help on tracking the International Space Station and a few other things I'm not at liberty to talk about, but we've got a fairly sophisticated system here, which should inspire all future and hopeful podcasters out there. This is possible. Anybody can do it. But we're winding down Passion 07. Obviously, you know, it's not going away because the ripples are still out there, and that's what we hoped for. I mean, that's what we've prayed for and talked about. We're not trying to do events, but we're trying to be a part of a movement that really lasts a long time. And I just wonder, you know, you've been around Passion for a long time, David, and you've been in this journey with us more than just showing up and playing music, but helping carry, you know, this idea that we have. And just looking back to January, Atlanta, I wonder, what are some of your thoughts? What stuck with you from Passion 07? What stood out to you maybe that is still somehow a part of what you're carrying even today?
The thing that just absolutely leveled me this time around, you know, I guess part of it going in, you know, we kind of knew that this course or this season of Passion is going to, you know, be kind of closed. So I guess it was, I was just a little bit more sensitive to just take it in the moment, you know, thinking that it might be a while before we're in a setting like that together again. And you know, the typical experience when you have that many folks together, it was all there. But the thing that just floored me was the Ghost Center stuff, all the impact that all the students, ourselves, everybody that was participating in the conference left on, you know, just locally and globally, the impact that was made just by a bunch of college kids in a room together. That was what was ridiculous. I just haven't been a part of anything like that. You know, I knew that talking about it before it happened, you know, it just seemed like a lot of lofty goals. I was just like, this is not going to happen. And I think that was kind of all of us felt a similar thing swell in us when we saw the impact that we made when given the opportunity and the organization that allows us to do something like that. I just think the work you guys did up front was just unbelievable to allow such easy steps to be made that like I said, just made an immediate impact, not only locally, but globally. The local thing was so cool, too. I love the idea of, spaces that we enter not being the same once we leave them. And that was just a beautiful big picture for me to carry with me in life afterwards, just to see you can enter a city and a city be a bit different as well. That was just huge.
Yeah, I know that we were together just a few weeks before Passion, a bunch of us talking about just what it was going to look like, and we were talking about this Do Something Now, and I think it sounded pretty good when we were talking about it, miles and miles away from Atlanta and weeks away from the days of the conference. But when we got there and we started, kind of putting the vision out there after the first day, I think we'd, just everyone was just soaking it up by the first day, and we hadn't gotten a lot of traction yet. And yeah. I remember at some point you and I were standing in a green room or somewhere and kind of looking at each other, and it was kind of that look like, and it wasn't any doubt in it. I think there was just a lot of reality in it. Like, my goodness, we've kind of taken a pretty big stand here. And, I don't think any of us really knew what was going to happen at that moment. And that was part of the whole, like you said, that was part of the journey of it. It wasn't a sure thing.
Yeah. It could have gone either way. And I'm glad it went this way. just the breadth, you just felt hopeful. I think lots of times we see all the issues and problems in life and the world, and we want to make a difference, but it just feels like such a big hill to climb. And I think that was, for me, it felt feasible. It felt like, the entire thing could change. We could do this. And that's part of what, I think that you guys in doing conference stuff have I struggle with. Do we need, that's what's led to New York and Boston and these places that are not as fortunate as the South to have gatherings of this sort. And I think it's always been a struggle to, do we need another event that we all get together in a room and sing some songs together and leave all fired up and try to figure out what to do with that on the road. And it just felt like all of a sudden, here we were in that moment, and our feet were under us, and we were already running with it. And that was just great. It just felt like God was already breathing this stuff in students, and Passion just put the next step in front of them, just put an easy way to do what they already felt turning in their heart. That was just the brilliance of it, I thought.
Yeah, David, you have a way of bringing something to the table at these gatherings, though. I'm thinking back to 05 and Here's Our King, and what a huge moment that was, kind of a God exhale. I felt like God just breathed out right in our midst, and then everything glorious in Nashville the second year around, and then coming this year with a couple of new things, one of which was Oh, the Glory of It All, which sounds very Passion-esque, at least in the title and in the heart of it. And tell us a little bit about bringing that song. Where did it come from? What was going on as God was giving you that song in the weeks before Passion? And what was it like bringing that to the table?
Yeah, we had, usually it's the Passion tunes that wind up popping out, it seemed like it always happens the last second. It's like the day on the plane. I think the Here's Our King things, happening on the plane, and I'm tossing it to guys once we get there, and they're trying to program stuff, and it just always feels so hectic. And this time we had already been working on some songs leading up to it. I guess we had begun writing and in the studio in Waco for the next record, and then we had our meeting together in Miami, all of us getting together, Charlie, Chris, Matt, all in a room, and as we started talking about this stuff, I just felt like, wow, this is really cool that some of these songs are already kind of headed down the road. Looks like this moment's going to be, granted, there was one tune I thought was going to be the deal, just for us anyway, just because of the Do Something Now stuff ringing so true inside me. Granted, it didn't find its spot there. But the joy of it all seemed like, you know, the one that surfaced for that moment. And I think a lot of it for, you know, I my struggle is always, it's like my world at home in Waco is a group of people at this little church that have somehow, you know, bumped up against church culture and had issues that led them away from the church, and we're trying to just kind of gather them back together, saying, you know, we don't believe that it's Jesus that they have a problem with, but maybe just their experience of the way we've embodied him as a church. And so for me to use words that I guess come from a church culture context, like glory, we just don't encounter that word that much in our everyday comings and goings, unless you're like on a soccer field at a Man U game or something like that, then it's pretty phenomenal word usage. But we, as much time as passion has spent with this word, I thought, you know, it just seemed like a simple phrase, oh, the glory of it all, that didn't have the church weight to it that I typically get with that word. And it just felt more, I guess, it's celebratory in a sense that this thing is just so grand. It felt more, I guess that the word felt grand rather than something that confused me. And so I guess it was me working out language issues more than anything else, trying to claim that word in a way that both our community in Waco could attach to, and that would be exactly what the heartbeat of passion has been for, you know, as many years as I've been a part of it. It's been all about, okay, here's this thing that we want to give our lives to, and it's something huge and much more, you know, grander than what living for myself is going to be about. And that seems like the most compelling thing you can put in front of students. And I think, too, one thing I loved is this the do something now stuff. It seemed like it folded in on this thing as well. You know, when you've got an entire culture that's become globally minded. Talk about our brilliant country. When you've got Sprint, you know, doing the red campaign, you know good and well that they're not doing this for the glory of God. It's the bottom line that's driving these campaigns, but they realize that their consumer is concerned about what's going on in Africa, and they're concerned about people that are less well off than they are. And so somehow a Christian with the same concerns has to look feel different than Sprint. And I think that it does when all of a sudden all the effort and the attention and the focus and the motive behind it is God's glory. It becomes something much deeper than a red campaign can ever be when it's driven by dollars. Granted, it's doing incredible good, but I think when you have a room full of 20,000 students that can attach themselves to carrying the story of God to people that are in need of it, and part of carrying the story of God means physical action, physical things to tell the story with, I think that could be huge. And I felt like, wow, this place could be a different place. So that's a long way to go for a simple song with only a few words. But that was all that was rattling around in me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think, you know, one of the things we've talked a lot about over the last few years, and definitely one of the things that I hope that Passion will have as its legacy, if it has anything as a legacy that, other than just that, you know, some people love God and tried to live that out, is just expanding maybe the idea of what worship is all about. And that's what you're saying, what I love about what you're saying right now, is that I think there is a level of compassion in most human hearts, and there's an awareness that something's got to change in the world, and maybe I can play a part in that. But I think the difference for me in the Do Something Now thing connected to the story of God that we're carrying together is that it moves from charity to becoming worship. And, you know, charity for me is one human being trying to do something nice for another human being, but all of a sudden worship is realizing that maybe the best way we can tell the story of God and the best way we can give glory, to use this word that is in the song that you wrote, to God, is by actually doing something, and doing something tangible and practical, and that that is as much worship as getting 23,000 people in a big room and singing a bunch of songs to God. In fact, it's probably way more of the kind of worship that God wants, actually.
Totally. That's it in a nutshell. I think one of my pivotal moments in, I guess, making the leap from, you know, because I think we've all been on this journey of, you know, the reclamation of popular music within the church, which has, you know, been this worship explosion that's happened over, and pastor's been right in the middle of it, and most of the time, you know, near the front edge pushing the whole thing. And I think for me, it's been incredibly encouraging just to see the church grab onto a bit of popular art and allow it to be something to express ourselves through and with. But it feels like, you know, I think we've had a lot of these conversations, but it feels like music has been asked to carry more than it can bear. And I think that's a lot of people are feeling that too. You know, if these songs don't, you know, if we lived like we sang, you know, again, this planet would be totally different. And for me, that leap happened at, again, our little church in Waco. But we had just had the Sunday morning service that I thought, you know, sometimes things click, sometimes things fall apart. And it was one of those mornings where it just felt like everything clicked, you know, from beginning to the service. Just the room felt right when you walked in that morning before anybody was even in there. People got there. There's just this energy. And it just felt like, man, this can't get any better than this right here. We get done with the thing, music clicked, great. I leave the stage, and I'm feeling so good about stuff. I'm just like, man, this is just the best place in the world. And I walk out the hallway feeling like we just had a moment together, you know. And this little kid from the nursery comes tearing around the corner and followed, you know, just screaming his little head off, and followed about 30 feet behind by this college gal who's chasing, and you know, is not having much luck at all. And it hit me, I wonder who has just been having the truer worship experience. And I was pretty confident it wasn't us that just got through singing. I was pretty sure it was this gal who had given up, you know, that bit of, you know, I think there's a fine line between, you know, consumption, entertainment, / giving ourselves to God through music. And I'm pretty sure this chick was safer than the rest of us in her attempt to be self-sacrificing in her offering of herself as something living and breathing. And that changed everything for me, as dumb as it might sound. But it seems like these little moments pop up that reshape your whole approach. And it was really from then on, I thought, man, I need to somehow do what we're doing, keep trying to, I mean, I love music. It's part of me. I can't help but make it. But somehow in the process of making it, I need to try to dismantle the power we've given it, the weight we've put on it, because it just can't bear it. And so, yeah.
David, you talking about the consumerism and consumerization, if that's a word, of worship. But, you know, in the context of UBC, which I want to talk to you about that in a minute too, but how do you encourage somebody out there, or how can we encourage people that are, you know, we're living in such an immersed culture in the whole consumer mentality, and how do we move people from that place of, you know, I'm absorbing all I can and all these great experiences through music or other, you know, impetus that are coming into my world? How do we move people from that to understanding that worship really is all about sacrifice, and it's more about maybe what you give than it is what you get?
Man, that's the big one. I think, man, here's a good, I need probably another hopeful moment. If you could put some together, like do something about this, it'd be great to give me some handles and legs to run with this. Because I think it's just our culture, like we can't help, but we want diversion, we want entertainment, we want the feeling of, there's in this book, I'm just reading this, there's this little section that talks about this. This is unbelievable, dude. You're going to love this. There's this experiment, you might be familiar with it. It was done in Canada back in, I think it was the late 70s, and they were trying to prevent epileptic seizures. They had these mice that they're doing these experiments on, and they were placing tiny little hair thin electrodes in the brain, because if they hit a certain spot and then gave a very mild electrical shock, it would prevent the seizures. Granted, you had to stick just a ton of them in there because you didn't know exactly where that portion of the brain was, poor little mice. And then you just have to kind of go scroll through the electrodes till you hit the one that prevents the seizures. But what they found, they stumbled upon what they called the P node, which was the pleasure sensory portion of the brain. And when they would shock the mouse, it would just go into this state of ultimate euphoria, you know, just in. So they ditched the epileptic thing. As crazy as this sounds, they turned it over to, like, the B team, you know. Hey, you guys keep running with this. We're kind of on this pleasure deal. And they wound up putting a button in the little mouse cage where the mouse could trigger the electrode that's in his P node himself. And he'd get that button, and then he's got a button for food and stuff. They would just sit and click the button thousands of times an hour, neglect food, water. They'd just die pushing this little button to get this ultimate, you know, it's like everything you like about life that makes you feel good about being alive and breathing in and out is located in this little button. And so they wind up working their way up through all the mammals. It's the same for all of them. They take the button away even. And the little mice just run around poking anything, like trying to click anything that'll click, you know, and they're still neglecting food even after the real charge is gone. And work their way all the way up through dolphins, and same deal, man. They just keep clicking the button. It leaks out that this group of scientists is doing this deal, and all of a sudden, tons of Canadians show up at the research deal wanting to sign up to have it done on them. And good and well, that it's not going to turn out good. You know, so then they ditch that experiment and decide, no, what we really need to do is study the psychological profiles of these people who showed up for this experiment. So now they turn over the P node study to group B again, and then they start studying these folks that came and said, yeah, sign me up for this. Of course, they're not going to sign them up for it, but turns out they're your average Canadian. Nothing against our Canadian listeners. I'm just saying, you know. So I think this is a really, when you throw worship in the middle of a room and it starts pushing all of our buttons, you know, it's a really difficult thing, and by worship I mean the music portions. I think it's a difficult thing for us to recognize what is exactly going on inside of us, and it can quickly become the end rather than what you were initially saying. It's just simply us trying to tell God we really like him a lot, you know, using music to do it. And so I just have a hard time trusting that moment, and I think that's kind of our starting place, is recognizing how quickly twisted we can make it without any ill intent in us, and so it's a dangerous deal, I think, and I think if you're with a group of people that you're living life and trying to figure this thing out with. That's a big part of the conversation is how do we give ourselves an absolute abandon and let music be what it is, this emotionally encompassing experience that yes lets us tell some things to God, but also affects us and changes us and moves us to maybe a place that we weren't previously, but how does this make a difference and the way we embody faith once we're not in this room anymore together. I think that's the big thing for us as a community or a church in Waco, Texas, is, I mean, of what use are these songs if they don't have any legs to them later, if our embodiment of Christ isn't affected and deepened by them, that to me is the litmus.
Totally, and it seems like, you know, for me, there's always that, you know, dilemma, because I don't think God and I are detached. In fact, we're very much attached. But I feel like sometimes I come through the door and my first, second, third, and fourth thought about the worship / the music is about me. And it's way down the list before I start thinking about God and what does he want and what can I offer him and what would really make him happy. And, you know, the Bible even uses a term that says we can minister to God somehow, that somehow there's a way we can affect him. And I think I've just got to continue to challenge myself. You know, am I coming through the door for me or am I coming through the door for him? And I think that is that starting point, that I know I can't just end up singing all the songs if I'm coming through the door for him. You talked about, David, your church, and, you know, UBC has been a journey for you, which I've so appreciated, because you've been a part of it really as long as I've known you, and it's been part of the fabric of your life, and you and Tony have somehow managed to merge, not to manage, but you've somehow been able to keep everything merged together. You're writing these songs, you're out touring, you're playing at events all over the world, but yet I don't think most people know what kind of sacrifice oftentimes you guys will make to be back in Waco and to be a part of the church community on a Sunday morning and the way that you lead it overall. But you said you're trying to build a church for people that kind of had given up on church or maybe been pushed away from church, and use the word reclamation of just trying to, you know, bring things back together. And what have you learned about that? And, you know, what about that in your journey do you think is transferable to pastors and college pastors and church leaders that are listening to the podcast today?
That is a lot. I think, a couple of things come to mind is one, I think I just have been, I've been in a similar place. I've been there. That's why I'm at this church. It's because I came to school and wound up pretty much bailing on the whole deal as far as faith goes. Just had a number of crises that just caused me to really want to just not be a part of Christianity, and as you know, crazy as that sounds and as harsh as that sounds, I had a hard time. I didn't want to call myself a Christian. I didn't know any Christians that I could tolerate for very long periods of time. I just had had a pretty difficult, I was pretty rudderless and lost, and when all of a sudden I start hearing of, well, what if we just, you know, we're brave enough to lay some stuff down and try to do this thing with some other people that are feeling the same stuff, not wanting to bail on God, not wanting to bail on Jesus, finding him still completely compelling, but just having this aversion to what we had experienced in our past. And so initially, you know, there was a lot of bitterness, and, you know, we were probably pretty impossible to be around for anybody else within the church. It was just, you know, we were really arrogant, really just like, you know, nobody knows what they're doing but us, really wanting, you in a reactionary state. You know, I think you swing away, the pendulum kind of just swings the opposite direction of where you've right. been. And you kind of have to, it's a journey, and you just almost have to wait for it to reach its impetus and then swing back a bit. And I think that would be the thing I would offer to pastors and people that are wanting to help students who have a lot of issues and have, you know, because what usually happens is you've got some kid that's grown up in church, been given all the answers, then they go to college, and then all of these answers bump up against other answers, and they have a less successful time defending their answers than the textbooks and the other folks that are presenting their answers, and it leaves them quite confused and disillusioned, and for a great many, pretty angry. And I think what I would tell a pastor is that that if you can get past the anger and get past that, it's a lot easier than you think. You know, it's still just a simple story about a God who's coming to make everything right, and that loves these students. It's just a lot less complicated than what I think initially it feels and sounds like when you're talking about how to carry the story to people who have or on the edge of rejecting or who have just rejected it and don't want anything to do with it. It's just, people are simple. They just want to be loved and valued and know that there's something bigger and grander for life. And that's the story that we're carrying. And it's more just putting up with the reactionary arrogance, disillusionment, and anger. But, you know, you go through the same stuff when you're talking about a student and their relationship with their parents, and it's just a similar baggage. It's just I think what we've found at UBC is if you give people the space to question and bring all the junk that they've got with them, and are willing to sort through it with them and not be afraid of sorting through it with them,
yeah,
it's not as difficult as you would suspect. And then two, I would just if I had the ear of somebody, I would say it's a necessary thing too. I think the world's a different place than it was. To go back even where I was before, when Sprint is much more globally minded than the church was not too very long ago. I think we're at a really interesting place as far as Christianity goes. What's the difference then? You know, between the way you live life and the way I live life, what makes the difference? And that seems to be the question that most of the students we're around are struggling with most.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that, you know, when you strip it all down, we're really people that are looking for, you know, some sense of redemption and hope and, you know, something you can trust in. And I know we're carrying that story, and it'd be a shame if somehow the church, you know, drops the simplicity and the power of that story. Because
totally.
Honestly is what everybody on this planet is looking for in one form or another. I know I got good news for everybody that's listening, David, and your fans who've been tracking with you probably know this already, but the David Crowder Band is scratching at the door and about to burst into the Dr. Pepper barn and start making some new music. And I know for one, I'm excited about what's coming, but you guys are going to start working on a new album later this month. Actually, it's already March now. And what can you say, or what do you want to say to people about the new album that's coming, and what should people be ready for?
Oh man, I don't even know. I mean, I do, but I don't know what I should say or shouldn't say. I know this. You know,
it's called the title. We should tell people "Hallelujah Chorus Remix Part 2. I think it's fair to go ahead and get that out there.
Yeah, that's the title. That's the working title.
Yeah,
it's gonna be phenomenal. What was it again?
Hallelujah Chorus Remix Part 2.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, that's unless you come up with something better. But for now, that's the front runner.
That's what we're working with. Fair enough. Man, I'm telling you, we're excited. We've been writing and messing with stuff for, I guess we've had a longer run at this record than we have other ones in the past. For some reason, I don't know. It feels like I've been wanting to, you know, push the red button for a good while now. I'm really excited about these songs, and we've been doing most of them. There might only be a one or two that we have been doing at the church, I can't wait for these songs to get out of our little community and see how God can use them elsewhere. But we had last time around, you know, we did that whole camcorder thing, webcam thing. So we're gonna do something pretty spectacular, I'm certain, online for folks to be, you know, watching, because it's
you've got a lot to
compelling.
Live up to. You had a total webcam, and then you had a big barbecue for everybody. I mean, that's a lot to live up to.
Well, now that's sheer excitement what you're speaking of, but I'm just talking about, you know, pulling up your computer, going to our little deal to watch me sitting at a table eating donuts, you know, in the morning. That's compelling, dude. Fucking. glued to the screen all day.
We gotta figure some way to tie that into the Do Something Now campaign right there.
Yeah.
We gotta figure out how to change the world for that to happen. Watch David eat donuts. It can only cost you two verses with one verse.
It was hilarious. Last time we had like four cameras running, I guess, and we would all be getting ready to leave for lunch. You know, so everybody's grabbing their stuff, and all of a sudden, everybody's phones would start ringing, and they'd be like, "Where y'all going? Where y'all eating?" So we had to get pretty sly about finding little spots in the barn that, you know, couldn't be spotted, where we communicate, you know, nonverbals like, "I'm hungry." You know, that's just a simple rub of tummy, you know, and point to the watch.
So the album is supposed to be out in the fall. And you're going to be touring in the fall also. That seems like a long time from now, but who knows when somebody's going to discover this podcast. It may be into the summer before somebody listens to it, but you're going to be doing a club tour in the fall, which is going to take this new music out to folks around the country. And I'm excited, I know, for people. And, you know, every time there's a tremendous amount of excitement about what's going to happen and what's David Crowder Band going to come out with this time around. And so... What should people expect? I mean, you've got Illuminate, you've got Can You Hear Us back there, the old stuff beyond that. A Collision came out and was like massively critically acclaimed, and I think changed the way a lot of people listen to music. So what can people expect coming down the road?
Well, we felt like we knew what was happening. You know, with A Collision, we were in a it was a difficult record to make, for one, just the content wise. It was so heavy. We were in a really heavy spot with just life having taken a number of turns that we didn't see coming, and folks that we really cared about passing away, and just seemed like our conversations were there at the time. And so by the time we were, you know, wrapping that thing up, we knew what we were about to spit out there and knew it would be a pretty challenging listen for a lot of folks. Going back to our consumption conversation, you know, there's just a there's different ways to engage music, and we knew that this one was going to require more effort than maybe just a more straightforward CD might. And it was definitely a journey, one that we wanted people to experience from beginning to end, and that's just a lot of time. We know it's a lot of time to ask somebody to give to a record when you know, life's so busy. And And so this one, it's granted, you know, we hadn't pushed the official red button, but seems like it's going to be a pretty good mix of where we've been over these. It feels like we've kind of put us in a more accessible yet concentrated form, I guess you might say. Feels like the Crowder Band in a concentrated form. That's it. If you're making orange juice, this would be in the freezer in a can. Just need to add a little water.
Cool. Well, I know everybody's excited, and we'll be watching for amazing stuff coming down the road. And I think before we wrap up, David, and man, there's so many things I'd love to talk to you about. But before we wrap up, I think everybody that's been on the podcast with us since Passion of Seven this question as we've kind of closed things down. But, you know, it's it's reality to life, and being in the Phillips Arena and the World Congress Center is pretty potent stuff. And it's hard not to feel encouraged about, you know, how God feels about you as a person and about how he feels about the world and your place in it. But that seems like that's kind of distant past for a lot of people now, and they've been back at school. They're already coming close to midterm, and, you know, life's kind of pulling at them in a lot of different ways. And I've talked to a lot of them myself that, you know, kind of found themselves back in some places that they really thought, I'll never be back in that place again. When they were at Passion, they thought those days for me are done, but yet they've, you know, found themselves back in some situations and circumstances. And, you know, I just love to encourage them today, and I wonder what you might say to somebody that's out there listening and they're still hanging on to the movement, and they're listening to the podcast today, and but at the same time they're like, man, I just don't know, you know. And what could you say, or what would you like to say or offer to them? It's just encouragement today to continue taking the steps that God has for them.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the big portions of the gospel I think we miss is that rescue is a continual experience. I'm pretty confident God knew the ebb and flow of life, and knew the things that we that we have an ebb and flow to the things that are around us, and that it wasn't going to be this. So what I'm saying is rescue came for sure, and rescue's coming for sure. But I believe it's here and constant. I think it's we're in this constant stream of redemption, and I think it's usually when we're forgetting that we wind up in the spaces that we couldn't have imagined ourselves being in again, is because we've forgotten what grace is. Because it's when you realize what grace is, it lifts you out of stuff, and I think that if we could just keep our heads and hearts in that stream of rescue, and that, because that's the reality that we're living in. You know, I think the biggest picture for me is the moment that the veil ripped. You know, that you've spent the whole of scriptures has been up to this moment where God's been contained and inaccessible, and then all of a sudden the veil rips in a way that only the Creator could make happen, and all of a sudden he's everywhere. And so I think whatever spaces we find ourselves in, we're sitting right in the hand of rescue, and that's the reality that we rarely live in. And that would be my small bit of encouragement to reclaim that and hold on to that reality.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, thanks so much for your time today, man. It's so good just having you on with us. I was afraid we were going to make it all the way through. Somehow you dodged out of Miami before we could get the podcast rolling, and we got stuck with the Chris Tomlin, Matt Redman joke-off. And so we've finally gotten somebody of height and stature into the podcast, which is fantastic. And great just having you on with us. Hopefully it won't be the last time, but it will be the last time for the Passion 07 podcast. So thanks for your time, David. We really appreciate it. And just praying for you guys as you head into the studio. I know some really amazing days are ahead.
Nice. Thanks a ton. I'm really glad we got to connect. Love it.
Cool. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Eddie, I love David. He's just, you know, he's unique.
He's
him. You know, it's just one David Crowder. There's just one of each of us, but he's just got such a special place in the story, you know, and such a unique voice in the story. And man, it's just great having him on today. And I'm so excited about the album.
It's gonna be really cool.
Yeah, I've already heard some of the songs, and it's just people are gonna really, really be excited.
That's cool. Can't wait, man. It's gonna be good.
Yeah. Thanks, David, for being on and helping us bring this thing to the finish line. That's really, really cool. So this is it, Eddie. We're winding it down, man. Final moments of the Passion 07 podcast.
I know. I'm trying to stall, just lingering in the moment.
You'll probably look up there, this is probably our longest podcast of all the podcasts we've done. And it's just our way of saying we don't really want to leave you guys. And,
right.
But, you know, all good things must come to an end. And Passion 07's chapter is closing. Obviously, the ripples are still going to go out. In fact, maybe today or tomorrow I'm going to post another story on the blog. We got an email from a girl over the weekend who didn't call in. By the way, we didn't say this, but to all you guys that called in, great job.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I've gotten so much positive feedback to the podcast because people loved not hearing us, and they loved hearing other people tell their stories. And, I mean, no one came right out and said that, but we all understand what they meant. But it was just great job to all you guys. Thank you again to the people that called in and didn't make it onto the podcast, but great job to all you guys. And the girl that sent this email in said, I did call, but her message was one of the ones that was breaking up really bad.
Yeah.
And I don't think we could really understand all of it. Mm-hmm. But just a really encouraging story. Ripples are still going out. In fact, I got an email from a friend of mine in Texas saying that Sunday at their church, they'd done a 3-week series on the Word of God, kind of highlighting the fact that there are people, I guess, in the world that don't have the Word of God.
Yeah.
We're really encouraged by Do Something Now and how students just gave, boom, you know, right at Passion without hardly even knowing.
Right.
And so they took up an offering at the end of the service. And $81,000, the people in the church service gave. They had no warning. They didn't tell them ahead of time. And money that's going towards one verse to do a Bible translation.
That's
and I'm sure they're going to have much more come in, which they'll probably easily get up to a whole translation. And I'm thinking, man, these one-verse people, I don't know if you guys listen to our podcast or not, but these one-verse guys, man, they must just be flipping out, you know, somewhere because it's like, okay, there's another translation.
I know.
And there are 2,200 some odd peoples that don't have a Bible in their language.
Wow.
So we've got a ways to go. It's not like there are 8 or 10 or 20 and we're just about to knock them all out, but I'd say we've knocked a couple dozen out so far.
Yeah, there's been some traction
just
for
as a result of Passion. So that's really, really cool. Those ripples are going to keep going for a long, long time. And I think people are wondering, you know, is podcasting, you know, over for us? And the answer to that's no.
Right.
But the chapter's changing a little bit. We're, as you know, planning 6 regional events around North America, actually in the United States. We're going to be doing 2 in the fall.
Yep.
And 4 in the winter/spring. And I would love to be able to tell you what the cities are today, but we're just having a few little hiccups and getting the last ones nailed down, and it's kind of a big puzzle. Everything moves around. So we're not trying to be cheeky, to use a UK word that Matt has taught me well, but we can't say for sure right now, but hopefully in 2 weeks, mid-March, it'll be on the website. We'll be in the Northeast. We'll be up in the Midwest. We'll be down here in the Southeast. Yep. We'll be in the Southwest. We'll be on the West Coast. We'll be on the East Coast. So that's
all
enough
over.
Said right now that most people in America will have a chance to get to us. It's a Friday night, all day Saturday night. So it's a little mini Passion, shrunk down a little bit. And the people that you've expected to, you know, see leading, being a part of Passion, are all going to be a part of it as well. So we're excited.
Yeah, it's going to be
and
cool.
And more information's coming from that. So once that page turns, I would guess some other version of the Passion podcast is going to reemerge, or some other version of the podcast is coming in some shape or form. So don't despair out there. And the 4 of you that have emailed us wanting the podcast to continue.
Your voices have been
your
heard.
Your voices have been heard. And I'm pretty sure, you know, that that's going to happen.
Cool. Well, and in the more immediate future, we've got the tour, which is still happening. There's still... How many more dates? About 10 more dates left?
10 more cities, in fact. I think we're going to publish on Monday or the podcast. So if you're hearing this on Monday, Monday would be March the, I don't know, my day is very good right now. I think the 12th or something like that.
Yeah, I think
so. So if you're hearing this on March the 12th or Tuesday, March the 13th, we're just starting things back up in Memphis, Tennessee on Tuesday night the 13th.
Yeah.
And rolling to Mobile after that, Jacksonville, Florida. And that's hometown for Eddie
All
Kirkland,
right,
folks. So let's hear it for the Eddie people coming out in big, strong Jacksonville. Fort Myers, West Palm Beach, Florida, Knoxville, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Little Rock, Arkansas, St. Louis, and then our snowed out date from Columbus, Ohio is going
to
be added on at the
Not
very
to
end.
Be left out.
So we're coming to Columbus. That's our last little run of 10 cities. How Great Is Our God tour. And man, if the same kind of stuff that has been happening happens. Yeah. There was a pastor that wrote me over the weekend and was in Atlanta Friday night, as are most people coming to the Chris Tomlin concert, which is nothing wrong with that. But they just, I don't think people know that it's bigger. It's a night of worship. There's going to be kind of a deposit in it from the word. But he said, we're coming to this concert. We've had a tornado nearby. We've had sickness and death in our church. I think he said in the message that 7 deaths they had dealt with in the week before coming to Atlanta. And he said, I was just so glad to be able to sit there and not have to plan a funeral and not have to plan a talk and just to be able to worship, and didn't really expect that God was just going to land right in the midst of that sense of need with the encouragement and the hope that he did. Said on the way home, called his worship pastor, said, man, we're scrapping the services for Sunday. Started doing some research online, started digging up NASA images, started looking for human body images, trying to scribble remember all the facts he could remember.
Yeah.
And they put together their own version of the talk.
That's
and
awesome.
At the end of the service, saying, how great is our God? And he just said, you know, it was pretty amazing. First service, even for our church, there was some serious lift. And he said the second service, people just went crazy. We've never seen anything like it at our church, just people responding to God's greatness. And I mean, to me, that's the deal, to think that the pastor came, he and his wife had their lives totally, you know, encouraged and breathed on. But then they went back and carried that message back to their people. And so the How Great Is Our God tour rippled all over again at a church in South Georgia as a result. So if anything like that happens the next 10 dates, then we're going to be so humbled just to be a part of it. And If you're in any of the cities that we're coming to, we'd love for you to come and be a part of it. I think Little Rock sold out already, but everything else is up for grabs.
Still open. Well, I think we have reached the end, and it's a sad moment for me, but have we covered everything that we wanted to cover?
I think we have, and I'm excited. You know, it is sad, but I'm excited because there's so much going on, and
yeah,
I know we'll be back soon with you guys, and it won't be a long break, I'm sure, before you'll see some kind of podcast information pop back up. And
that's right.
Who knows, we may even just publish it under the same podcast so people don't have to go find it and resubscribe all over again or something like that. But we'll figure it out. We'll make a plan. But in the meantime, thanks for your prayers, encouragement, the gifts. People are giving Eddie online to the world tour, like in massive amounts. And
wow.
We're not even saying that. We've not even announced it. It's just people are finding it. And every week I'm talking to folks here in the office and they're saying, yeah, you wouldn't believe what happened. We got another gift online, another gift. And so thank you for, you're just breathing into the vision and encouraging us as we're trying to figure out what's going on. Part of our team's headed down to Brazil in just a few days and going to be checking out some cities down there.
That's cool.
We've got teams that are already zeroing in on other areas as well. So thank you for your prayers and encouragement for being with us on this journey, man. We feel like we're part of a family, Eddie.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel to me like we're up here running a conference ministry. It feels like we're in a movement.
Right.
And we're locked arms with people we've never met, people who've never even been to the events before, people who've never even been a part of a passion gathering, people in America and outside of America, people in college, and the parents of college students. And it's just an incredible thing to be in the story of God, to be on this journey together. You've done a massive job, Eddie. I just want to thank you. You started the podcasting wave here with our little Nexus thing we had a while back, and you've been really instrumental in helping get this off the ground.
Cool.
And so thanks for being on the journey with me, and thanks for being on the journey with us and all you guys out there. We love you so much.
Yep.
And we'll be back in touch soon, or we'll see you somewhere on the road. 268generation.com is where we always are. 268 blog is where you can find me. And we just pray that you'll just keep living for a bigger story, keep striving to be a part of something that matters, and that's the glory and the fame of Jesus Christ.